Hello, this is Sahar. I hope you'll enjoy listening to this podcast.
With me today is Lee Haywood, personal instructor extraordinaire. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you.
I'm very curious about being a personal instructor, and when we first met during a friend's party, I just had a very good feeling about you. It's just the way that you carried yourself and the things that you've said. Can you let our listeners know, how did you get into personal training?
I was in the military as a young man at 19
right.
years old, inspired by my grandfather. I've always been a physical fit guy, wanted to travel the world. That was my first dream, really, to be a physical training instructor. But as life sometimes has a way, things doesn't always work out the way we'd like to
right.
hope and dream. So on returning to the UK, I was kind of lost. So I went to do some voluntary work in schools, teaching children. Amazing sort of first person who was inspirational to me, a guy called Jeff Curtis.
Yes.
And he was working with like the sports development at the time.
Oh, yes.
So it was just great. You know, I was looking for jobs on and off, and that was the sort of first inclination, I think.
Was this after your military service?
Yeah, this was after the military service, and it was just, it pointed me in the right direction, you know, because after I felt for the first time in my life as a failure, you know, at 21 years old, I thought my life...
What do you do? I think we all go through that.
Yeah.
So your first contact was with children?
Yes, working in primary schools.
Really?
Yeah, so key stage 1, 2, and 3, so it was like more early learning.
Wow.
So that was the initial introduction in it. For me, like, fitness is just a complete spectrum. It's a medium, but what you've got to remember in the military, which, you know, I was quite naive, you know, at 19
sure,
years old, like
sure.
we all are, you know, you train for war, you know, it's combative,
defensive,
and it's very intense. There's a lot of, like,
that's,
you know,
interesting, yeah.
running with weight, and obviously going working with children, it's a complete
contrast.
On yeah, you know,
amazing.
You're working agility,
yeah.
balance, coordination, fundamentals, learning fun games. So it was a real insight then to a different way. One of my early influences was Bruce Lee, growing up, as he's inspired many, you know, and
yes.
he was so ahead of his time. And because I come from an athletic background, football, I've always been able to not be an academic person, but, you know, when I come to sport, I've always excelled.
Yes.
And for me, it's been, you know, time's got me through hard times, you know, from running, the freedom, that, say, it's just inspiring to people.
So are we talking about fitness in terms of being an expressive art form, in terms of how you can use your body to do different things?
Absolutely.
So you see the body as an instrument?
It's like slowing it down. It's quite, I like to call it art in motion. It's poetic.
Okay, that's interesting.
Like
art
dancing. Yeah,
yes.
It's...
Yes, because you actually combine dancing and music in your personal fitness. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's just evolved with time. So it's like a bit of art, it's music. So what we look at do is like, the body should move in what we call like a surgeonistic flow.
Right.
When it's optimal performance. So what I like to do is just really channel people's energy into this flow and try it again. For me, when I work with somebody, if I shut my eyes, I can see a blank canvas, and in that 1 hour, or is it 90 minutes, 30 minutes, I can self-create, and then from them I pretend like they're the canvas, and I'm teaching them how to use the brush for the first time.
That's
which
very
sort
interesting.
Of
with
coincides
their body.
Yeah, so then
amazing.
They can paint their own pictures.
Amazing.
Using their own body.
So how do you know, or how do you assess what's the right regime for the right person? What do you look for in a person? Like, how do you assess what needs to be done, for example, or what kind of program would be good for them?
Well, it all starts initially with that first consultation. I really like to get to know people. So
right.
we'll talk about, like, why do they want to train in, like the how and the why, what's the purpose of the training. So from there, I'll sort of identify things. I think I've got a very good intuition,
right,
a feel of things. So once we've gone through that full hour, I will then book in sort of a consultation where we do a 30-minute trial, and I will test certain
right.
things. And then straight after we've finished with this,
right,
I then pretty much then know in my head automatically.
So if we look at the body, like, I know, for example, we'll talk a little bit about how you worked with my mother, which is really amazing. Your first goal was mobility, to increase her mobility.
Yeah.
So when you look at a person, like, what are the things that you do? You look at their mobility, flexibility?
Yeah.
Do you look at certain areas in the body that needs to be reworked?
Well, the idea of Kaizen, and you touched upon this, means continuous improvement. And my idea is we're all striving, you know, for this optimal level, you know, this sort of spirituality,
yes.
but within fitness
yes.
also. So
yes.
Kaizen and what I've developed here is...
So Kaizen is your brand name.
It's my brand
name.
That's
what you've come up with. And I saw that on your T-shirt, and you actually have a fantastic logo because it looks Japanese and yet it's the K.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Kaizen.
Yeah, so well, Kaizen is just an evolution of my own career. As I said, you know, going through my Dubai journey and my evolution as a personal trainer, I was in the self-help sort of section, which is sort of self-enrichment, self-development,
yeah, yeah.
And I was looking for something because I was here working for a corporate
company. So
you've
been here for 2 years in Dubai?
Three years now.
And before
yeah.
that you worked in the UK as
in
a
the
personal
UK.
Instructor.
Yeah.
Right, so what happened when you were in Dubai?
So I came to Dubai in 2011, October, and I was recruited from Manchester to come and work as a fitness professional in the Middle East.
Right.
I was working at that time for Manchester City Council
right.
on community-based fitness projects. I had my own little functional training studio.
So you've already dealt with different backgrounds, different age groups? And
for sure, you know, and I had this really wide spectrum of... But obviously the recession was in the UK at the time, and as much as I was loving doing what I was doing,
yes,
there was no I could
way
not
to
see
go
a
forward.
Future.
Yes, yes.
So this was an opportunity that came up, and I just jumped on the opportunity to come over. So going into a corporate field again was not really ideal for me
right.
after my time spent as being self-employed. But again, I just saw it was as a platform to maybe come here,
yes.
learn about, you know, the Middle East, which, you know, is a fascinating country. Somewhere I've never been, and I'm quite, you know, well travelled anyway. So it was
so
just an exciting adventure for me to come and see if
so
I could help people.
You were in the self help section.
Yes. So yeah. The
I'm just really curious about Kaizen.
So yeah. So the self help and I can't remember the book, but basically I was reading and again all about like you know developing myself because I want to develop others, and then I came across the word Kaizen, and because as you can see my body I'm quite heavily tattooed on one side and into the Japanese and the Asian.
Oh yes.
And it just, I don't know, it just jumped out of the page at me, this.
You related to it.
Straight away, and I was looking for an alias name.
Right.
Something to go by, like, I thought,
right.
Lee Haywood doesn't really cut it, you know, you know, I'm proud of who I am.
Yes.
So
Kaizen actually means constant improvement, I think.
Yes, correct.
Yes. So that has become your methodology or your
logo. Oh, everything. It's everything. It's what inspires me. It's my mantra. It's my philosophy. And it's.
So what's the Kaizen grading system?
So the grading system about like a level 1 to 5. Again, I'm a big fan of nature.
Right.
So you can see nature is more destructive. Say, for example, a tsunami.
Right.
Like we would label that a number 5.
Right.
And like
right.
something at a number 1. So for me, we want to use that level of intensity to
right.
build up aerobic
so
fitness.
So you kind of like start from 1, and you build up your client to 5.
Yeah.
So that's your own
grading
system. Okay.
So obviously, a level 5 would be someone who's into like you know a regular gym program, quite intense training. So someone like your mother, we're looking at a nice flow.
Yes.
So anywhere between a 1 building up to a, say, a level 3.
Right, right. That would be more objective or more realistic for her.
Yeah.
I just want to tell our listeners, my mother is 86 years old. She went through a rough time the last 12 months. She's had 3 surgeries, including a pacemaker, heart valve replacement, and a hip surgery. And we've done our best with physiotherapy and you know looking after her. And then I've reached a certain level with her that I thought, no, she needs really a professional now. And I've really noticed a huge improvement just within the first week. And she actually looks forward to her sessions with you. What's your trick?
I don't think it's a trick. I think it's where my skills lie. I think I can really install self-belief in people. I think that's something that I've learned, having the opportunity
yes,
to work with some
feel more confident.
Amazing.
But
people.
I noticed also your program is quite varied, so you don't do the same thing for the whole session.
No, because exercise,
music, and balls, and dancing, and
yeah, it should be fun. And I think we lose sight of this, you know, when people sort of place their own restrictions on themselves in regards
That's
to what they
so
can
like
do.
It's like a mental block, you know. I can't do this. But having someone there
yeah.
to coach you,
and people now think fitness is just a matter of lifting weights. It's not, it's about movement.
That is interesting, because I notice you use different things, different equipment, you use the rubber band, so you can, you know, this is what I like you almost make it so doable So you don't have a big threshold to get over in terms of becoming fit.
Because, as I say, you know, you're not always going to have access to, you know, all the equipment, especially when I was travelling. You know, I've spent time in Asia, Australia, so when you've got nothing, I used to use chairs, trees, you know, just look to nature for the answers, you know what I mean? You know, we've evolved so much and we live in a world which is sedentary, you know, and I'm one of them guys who are like to be on the go.
Yeah.
And I'm physically active, so what I've learned, like bands, bodyweight exercises, they should
be
lay the foundation.
Yes.
And then from there, we should add like weight and resistance. We should look at stuff like yoga, meditation,
really,
music, or stimulate
you incorporate that in your sessions
to become obviously the most well balanced that we can possibly.
So we can actually say that it's holistic personal training, because you're not just working with the body, but you also work in nature.
Yeah, mind, body, and soul. I think is
brilliant.
The best way to describe. Yeah.
Brilliant. I like what you say here, that your goal at Kaizen Fitness is to create the most efficient human body possible, using fitness as an expressive art form through movement-based sports specific training programs. What other specific training programs do you do? Because you're very keen on boxing.
Yeah, so I have a background in boxing. My first sort of profession in that regard
really?
Was football.
Oh, yeah.
I played for 10 years football, and again, you learn everything, you know, so how to strike a football, how to head, knee, chest. I played on the wing, so there's a lot of endurance-based work,
mm-hmm.
pre-season, quite vigorous training. As I got into the fitness, I got into more boxing, you know, kickboxing, Muay Thai training. And then obviously being in high school, I was very good at, you know, track and field, javelin, discus. I was just natural. So I looked at everything and the movement fascinated me. And I thought, I can develop my own style based on movement, which is going to give that sort of creative format. And I believe, like, you know, I see a lot of different fitness professionals in the Middle
mm-hmm.
East. But I don't believe that, you know, and I don't want to come across like arrogantly or anything.
No.
Like
no,
anybody who has that sort of wide spectrum of like, say, training someone as like from 80s or to my current youngest of 15, and I can also train someone of 5 years old.
Mm.
I have the skills
yes.
to work with that spectrum of people. So
you understand the body, basically.
For sure.
You understand the body at whatever age it is. And you intuitively understand where is it at and what it can do and what you can build it up to.
For sure, yeah, I would agree with that.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Where do you see yourself going with this?
Ooh,
what are your goals? Because we've spoke, you know, before, earlier, off mic, so to speak, about combining fitness and fashion. How would you do that?
So the first thing, like you say, you know, we talked briefly about my logo, the Kaizen. Well, actually, I designed the logo itself. When I found the Kaizen jumped out of the page, I got on my sketchbook and I started drawing possible logos. And the K actually says Kaizen in here.
Mm.
So now then going into like fitness and fashion, I like to do my own leisure wear and because it's like how it feels, it's like a representation of like who, and I've also designed the masks, which is something I'm looking to go into.
Tell me about the mask, because that was really intriguing.
Yeah, well, I believe that we all wear masks in
That's
everyday life,
yes.
And working with like, you know, the youth development, which I would say is my true passion, and
back
I know
in England, yes.
I was at that sort of misunderstood, I was frustrated, I was very good at, I wasn't an academic, so sport was my opportunity. I put on that, I was like Superman, you know, I wear my glasses, sometimes I was a little bit geeky back then,
mm-hmm.
but as soon as like fitness, that was my chance to show people, show the world
so
how good I was.
So your confidence came back.
Yeah, you know, and we all got that, you know, we learn fear as we grow from childhood, you know, and it's like, you put on the mask, you can be anything. Almost, so that's for me, is creating Kaizen as a symbol of hope and like, you know, revolution. So
you're actually using the mask as a positive enforcement of what you can become.
It's an affirmation of like,
an affirmation, interesting.
Commit to being unstoppable, which is the Kaizen mantra. It's like, I want people to think they're like a juggernaut. You know, they're in this mindset that nothing's going to stop them. There's going to be barriers, there's going to be hurdles, there's going to be mountains.
So what do they get to do? Do they get to design their own mask and then wear it during
eventually. So currently I have three masks at the moment, one male, one female, and one animalistic, which represents bird, which is like a freedom, that going to fly.
Yeah.
So this will evolve, and it's all like a creative art, like sports performance, and we're mixing into like paint with this and using the boxing fundamentals.
So you're even combining like art, creativity, physical fitness, and in a way it is fashion, because once they get into that mood or that character of what they're trying to become, is that the idea?
Yeah, and I just want to show people that they can become whatever they want to be. Even like your mother, for example, you know, today we was like, it's like Peter Pan Neverland, you know, we're swimming in there, yeah. Using the imagination, using music, which will install a back in time what made them feel happy. So it fascinates me. So it's like, we can be anything. We can be climbing mountains, swimming, and I've learned this obviously working with children.
Yes, I have to tell you, everyone was surprised when I said, you know, I've got my mom a personal trainer, and they said, what, you know, physiotherapy? I said, no, we've been there.
Yeah.
It was very good, but it didn't push her beyond her limits, or didn't actually get her body back to normal, and she used to be a very, very active woman. And it's amazing what someone can achieve if they're coached by someone who knows what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? It was very specific, simple exercises, mm-hmm. and every time there was a difference. You know, she started standing up on her own, and then today, what is it, within 2 weeks, she's walking unaided.
Zimmer frame gone.
And of course, her morale is going up, because she was feeling so sorry. You know, when you're disabled, mm-hmm. you feel very sorry for yourself. You're not mm-hmm. your fullest potential. Belief to achieve is one of the statements that has influenced your life personally.
Yeah. Paul Robb was my we talked about, you know, my beginnings, is my mentor. He was everything, you know, to me. I was struggling with a relationship with my stepfather, which deteriorated from around 10, and I used to get like, you know, Lee, he's just like, you'd get a proper job, you know, he was a truck driver and stuff, and I always knew that I wanted to follow my own passion. And as most parents, you sort of, they want the best for you, but the way my stepfather approached it was difficult for me.
Mm.
You know, and I was always searching for that sort of father figure.
Mm.
And Paul was everything to me. He was like a god, you know.
Mm.
And he believed in me the most, and he took time because he saw something in me.
What's the HY effect?
The HY effect is the how and why of personal training.
Ah.
So I wrote my own philosophy a few years ago, which is a constant state. So it's like the purpose of like, what are we doing? Why are we doing it?
Mm.
So there's always a how. How do we go about, mm. like someone like your mother, we can take as an example. How do I get from here to point Z?
Mm.
Okay, so I have to break that down into strategic planning in my mind before I then obviously work it in there and understand what I need to do, again, intuitively, once I've met the person, and the why. So for your mother, so it's going to give her greater, you know, sort of independence mainly.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make her feel like she's 10, 15, even 20 years younger.
Mm.
You know, she's going to have more aerobic endurance.
Mm.
She's going to enjoy life. Her grandchildren come and see her. It's about pride and these self values, that health is, for me, is everything.
Mm.
And that deteriorates as we get older.
Because of lack of movement, perhaps.
Lack of movement, it's sedentary life.
Sedentary.
And that's one of my big passions here in the Middle East. I want to contribute, you know, to this, you know, worldwide, we're in this epidemic, it's obesity.
Because diabetes here is the highest.
We're stagnating, I think, you know, technology all around us, and there's some amazing...
We fit more, we move less.
Yeah, so I really want to bring this sort of creative movement and show people that we've got fitness here, but that's just one small part of what we do. On the bigger picture, if I can bring the fun, the creativity, that blank canvas, and create together through that collaboration with clients, I want to paint a picture of the ideal and work towards that, you know, different textures of training. So you can see the way I think is completely different.
Absolutely. So they actually look forward to the session because they don't know what they're going to do next.
They don't.
They could be painting, dancing,
singing,
yeah. putting a mask on. Fantastic.
It's almost childlike, but with, you know,
going back to that innocence, really, because when we're children, we believe we can do anything we want to do.
We want to do. We have no fear. That's
very interesting.
So for me, it's that. And if you look at Buddhism and spirituality, I think that's what people strive for in life.
Realizing that you're really infinite and anything is possible.
So again, that's basically what I've took with all my self-development reading, you know, from things like Buddhism to different religious, to sports, reading autobiographies of people who I admire. For example, Richard Branson in business,
right.
Sir Alex Ferguson, who managed Manchester United for,
yes,
you know, over 20 years.
Yes.
I like big female people, personalities, you know, people like Paula Radcliffe.
Yes.
You know, Mother Teresa. Then you can just list all the, you know, Nelson Mandela. You can,
yes,
people throughout.
It's amazing. It's interesting for me how you see these, you know, sort of archetypes, and they inspire you, and you like certain aspects, and then you bring it into your coaching, and literally like impart that to the client. So they're getting a lot more than just physical fitness when they're working with you.
Yeah. But what you've got to remember also is, like, people might have neglected themselves for,
absolutely,
say, 5 or 6 years. So for them people, after 3 months, they will start to see certain things, and hopefully then it's going to give them encouragement. So I always believe if you give yourself 12 months, you can change your life through this program.
How much is it connected to what you eat as well? Because you seem to know a lot about nutrition.
Yeah, well, they say 60 to 70%, but I think, you know, out there now in the world, there's everything. We've almost too much information.
Yes.
And what happens with this, and it was this too many then contradictions. Okay, so all like what micronutrients, how many carbs should I have? What fat should I be eating? How many calories a day? So the point is, like, I don't know what to eat anymore. I'm a big believer in, like, food for fuel, you know, and putting, like, the right balance depending on the right training.
Yeah.
So, for example, someone like myself who is training an average of 6 to 7 clients a day and training around 1 hour to 1 hour, 30 minutes daily.
Yes, yes.
My calorie intake has got to be so much far greater than someone like yourself,
right,
where I might be professionally
working. Because you need
working.
That fuel, you need that energy.
Yeah. So you need to work, and it has to sort of fit into the lifestyle. You know, we need to get fiber into the diet, making sure people are well hydrated. We need to cut away, you know, processed food and integrate, like, you know, right, antioxidants, all these sort of, what multivitamins are people
Brilliant.
Taking, supplementation.
Yes,
that's
so subject matter for another episode.
For
really.
Another, yeah, so again, I try to keep everything as minimalistic as possible, simplify everything, so you don't overthink. I feel when you're thinking too much,
you get overwhelmed, and then you don't cross the boundaries.
It.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
yeah,
we think, and we can overanalyze everything. It's a matter of actually just the doing.
Taking an action. Yes, I really believe in that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's a practical application of knowledge. That
with me today is Lee Haywood, personal instructor extraordinaire. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you.
I'm very curious about being a personal instructor, and when we first met during a friend's party, I just had a very good feeling about you. It's just the way that you carried yourself and the things that you've said. Can you let our listeners know, how did you get into personal training?
I was in the military as a young man at 19
right.
years old, inspired by my grandfather. I've always been a physical fit guy, wanted to travel the world. That was my first dream, really, to be a physical training instructor. But as life sometimes has a way, things doesn't always work out the way we'd like to
right.
hope and dream. So on returning to the UK, I was kind of lost, so I went to do some voluntary work in schools, teaching children. Amazing sort of first person who was inspirational to me, a guy called Jeff Curtis.
Yes.
And he was working with, like, the sports development at the time.
Oh, yes.
So it was just great, you know, I was looking for jobs on and off, and that was the sort of first inclination, I think.
Was this after your military service?
Yeah, this was after the military service, and it was just, it pointed me in the right direction, you know, because after I felt for the first time in my life as a failure, you know, at 21 years old, I thought my
what
life...
What do you do? I think we all go through that.
Yeah.
So your first contact was with children?
Yes, working in primary schools.
Really?
Yeah, so key stage 1, 2 and 3, so it was like more early learning.
Wow.
So that was the initial introduction. And it, for me, like, fitness is just a complete spectrum, it's a medium, but what you've got to remember in the military, which, you know, I was quite naive, you know, at 19
sure,
years old, like
sure.
we all are, you know, you train for war, you know, it's combative
defensive,
and it's